It's almost impossible to articulate how hard our lives are when we don't understand our clients. And once we truly understand customers and potential customers, our lives are profoundly easier in ways that are unimaginable before we have that clarity. Stay tuned to hear how we can gain the understanding that makes everything fall into place.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
So as you've heard me talk about before, I do a fair bit of public speaking at industry association meetings and annual conferences and different kinds of meetings like that. One of the things I've started asking audiences in the last year or so is, do you think people would rather be understood or loved? And the answers I get are generally somewhere around 70-30, 80-20. Most people in these audiences say people would rather be understood than loved. And I would tend to agree with that. I think that as humans, being loved is great, and that's a powerful thing that we all want. But to truly be understood by somebody, I think is one of the things that we're all trying to accomplish. One of the reasons our favorite thing to talk about is us is because we want to be understood. We want to communicate our points of view. We want people to get us. Now, as it relates to understanding our clients, like that is why, in my opinion, one of the most powerful things we can unlock in our business is a true understanding of our client. And there's a few ways that I've experienced getting this right, a few ways I've experienced getting this wrong, and I'm going to share some of those with you today. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week as well. It's like once we figure out, how to understand our client, like how do we put into words what makes us special? So this episode and next week are pretty well tied together. And one of the things I think we get wrong is when we expect our clients or potential customers to make different buying decisions than we do. It's very easy for us to shift our thinking. This happens like without any effort. It happens even when we don't want it to, but it very quickly happens. We shift our thinking to, how do I get them to buy my thing, instead of staying committed to really understanding them, what they want and what they fear and what they expect and what they hope, and not necessarily about the service we provide. And this is one of the hardest things we'll ever do, but holy smokes, does our life change immensely for the better once we really do get this part figured out. Until then, though, we have to stay laser focused on the outcome we need to do right now, which is getting an understanding of our client. Once we have that, we can apply that knowledge and our lives change in ways that are, again, it's just unimaginable, the difference in how your business will operate when you have this understanding. If you don't have that understanding, though, that has got to be the number one priority, in my opinion. Like nothing else will matter more than that, aside from like big risk stuff. Aside from if you're in a blue collar environment, accident prevention stuff, if you're in a white collar environment, data protection, I mean, of course that stuff. But aside from those like things that are catastrophic to your business if they go wrong, nothing else is more important in my opinion than figuring out what makes our clients go and what do they really want. And we're going to talk a little bit about this because we tend to focus on providing what they need, which is our service, which they absolutely do. But people don't buy because of what they need. They buy because of what they want. So more on that in a second. First, I want to tell you to try the new group you've heard me talk about for the last few weeks. Absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. All you got to do is send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. Just a quick introductory email, your name, business name, how many employees you have, whatever you think is pertinent. Once I get your email, I'll send you back the Zoom link for our next call, and you can start moving forward immediately in areas where you'd like to make a little more or a little faster progress. Again, all you gotta do is send an email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. All right, so one of the things we gotta do is figure out what they want, not what they need. And again, I'm not minimizing that they need the service we provide. There's no question about that. But that's not really what they want. You know, a super simple example is nobody wants to count calories. Nobody wants to do push-ups. They want to fit into their dress. They want their friends to notice. They're looking better. They want their spouse to notice they look better. They want to feel healthier. Like, those are what they want. What they need is to count calories and do push-ups. And this is where we make the mistake, is we focus on the thing we provide, and we talk about, well, what they need is our thing, and our thing just needs to be the best thing that we can offer. And yes, that's a piece of it. But what they want is something entirely different. They want other stuff, perhaps even more than they need our service. And almost always more than they want our service, right? So nobody wants to get their taxes done. Nobody wants a new HVAC unit. And this is really hard for us. But the harder we fight this, the longer we fight this, the longer it takes to truly understand our clients, and the longer we will struggle in everything, our marketing, getting our employees to quote unquote get it. Like, why can't they fill in the gaps? Why do things fall through the cracks with our employees? Like, we have all these processes and procedures in place. Why do things still fall through the cracks? This is part of the reason why. This is a huge part of the reason why, is we focus on what our customers need, not what they want. So we have to stop asking, how do I get them to buy my service, and start asking, what do they really want, and how can I provide that better than Brand X? So to truly find success, we must stop trying to sell them on our widget and start selling them on how well we understand what really matters to them. I don't think we always know what really matters to them. That's where the real problem is. But we think we do, because we say, well, of course they want a high quality service. Of course they want the electrical work to be done top notch. Of course they want the bookkeeping to be top notch. Yes, that's all true. But why do they want that stuff? Why do they care about that? Well, again, there's very generic answers we can fall into, but then we're not understanding them. We're trying to get them to understand us. We're trying to get them to figure out how our thing is so good and why they should care about our thing. And that's exactly the opposite of what we need to be doing here. We're going down the wrong path. We're trying to convince them why they should care about our thing, instead of speaking to what they really want. So we got to figure out the problem as a determining factor for their buying decision. There might be more than one, probably so. But it's probably not the widget. It's probably not the widget fixing. So, like, you know, if you sold roofing nails, is who you buy roofing nails from really about their nails? I mean, one provider's as good as the next when it comes to roofing nails, probably, right? Now, are there companies that are known for offering a higher quality or a lower quality? Maybe, I don't know. But if you're in the industry of selling roofing nails, would your entire pitch be about how good the roofing nails are? Would it be about how you understand your client and you're there to take care of them? If things go sideways, you're going to help solve the problem. Like, when I was in sales, my number one sales pitch was me. It was that I would be there if something went wrong. Now, why was that important to them? Because they wanted peace of mind. They wanted to know, like, if we buy this thing and it doesn't work out, like, who's my guy? And I was the guy, right? But so I was not selling me as in I was some kind of expert. Of course, they expect me to be the expert. That's not what they were interested in. They were buying somebody who was committed to making sure everything went okay, and if it didn't, it would take care of the problem. And in that sales role, that really mattered. That may not apply to your situation. And that in many cases, it won't. And so that you shouldn't try to model that, because your clients, what they want is different than what my clients want in that situation. My clients in that situation, in that particular sales role, wanted to not have to worry about if it went sideways, trying to figure out how to make it right. They wanted a person who would just do that. And I was that person. So what I was selling was a solution. If anything ever went wrong, I would take care of it, because they were buying roofing nails. They didn't expect that the service I was selling was 1.4 times better than Brand X or 3 times better than Brand X. That's not how they looked at it. That's not what they were interested in. They didn't believe, and I was not going to be able to convince them that we had an extra level of expertise, because they didn't look at this like that was possible. They looked at it like buying roofing nails. And whether I like that or not is not the relevant part. And again, I worked with some really great people who did great work, and I was really excited about that. But if I would have focused on how we provided that, and my only sales pitch was the quality of work we do, well, I'm going to say the same thing as Brand X. And then I lost the part that was unique about us, which was me being able to understand that their real concern was, if something goes wrong, who's going to take care of it? And they didn't want to be the person who had to worry about that. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that's not adding more murkiness. The thing is, it's almost always an internal problem related to how that they care about more than the actual technical stuff. It's almost always some kind of internal problem. So the example I just gave is, you know, in that sales role, these are people who bought the same service over and over. It was business to business. They bought the same thing over and again, and they just didn't want to hassle. They just wanted it to be easy. That's what they wanted, and that's why they bought from me. It was because I made it easy for them. Are there exceptions? Are there times where some other provider would have screwed something up and we came in behind them and fixed it, like a technical thing? Of course. Like, are there situations where a company hires an electrician and they come out and they blow it, and then they hire another electrician to come out and fix it? Of course that stuff happens. And that's happened to me, just like it's happened to you. Every one of us has examples where a competitor blew the technical part and we came in and saved the day. And was the client happy we saved the day? Of course. But we have to understand we're biased to want our expertise and our experience to be the criteria the customer values the most, because we're human and we also want to be valued. But this isn't generally how it works. How often do you call someone to fix something for you while simultaneously thinking, they probably don't know how to fix this, but I'm going to call them anyway? That's not how it works, right? We don't likely call people, or we nearly always call people who we think have the technical skills necessary to fix our problems. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them. And this is, you know, kind of a through line. It's a recurring theme in this podcast. That is part of what made my company successful, and part of why my company grew at the rate it did. You know, we averaged 38% growth per year for a decade. The reason was because we weren't selling the technical work. We were selling our understanding of the client, which had nothing to do with how we made money. It had nothing to do with the types of tools we use. It had nothing to do with that. What was attractive to our clients about us was we understood the stuff that they really cared about, which was not, in our case, the plumbing. It wasn't that. They cared about knowing what was going on. They cared about communication. They cared about other things that were way more important than the plumbing, because they expect people to know how to fix the plumbing. They know there's plumbing providers out there who can do that. That's not unique. That's not special. We had to sell them on what was unique and special about us that didn't really have anything to do with the technical stuff, because that's what they wanted. If we would have tried to convince ourselves, or we would have continued trying to convince ourselves that they should really care about the plumbing, we would have been in trouble. We would not grow 38% a year. If we would have kept saying, well, let's just try to convince them that our plumbing is better than everyone else's, like that would have been a futile experiment. Our lives changed when we stopped trying to sell the technical thing we did. We figured out what they wanted, and we sold that. That's when our lives changed. But we had to understand them first. We had to unlock from what we wanted them to do and figure out what they wanted to do and what outcomes they really cared about. And this is, it's a slight difference, but it's absolutely critical we get this part right. So you and I always call people, unless there's some weird circumstance where it's not possible, which is pretty rare. We generally call on people we think have the technical skills necessary to fix our problems. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them. So we can't allow ourselves to perceive the exceptions where our technical skills save the day, which again has happened for all of us, but we can't allow ourselves to perceive that those exceptions where our technical skills save the day and we came in behind somebody and fixed something. Like every bookkeeping company, every CPA firm has an example of they brought a new client and the books were a mess. Everyone has stories like that. Every contractor has stories where somebody tried to fix something, they blew it, and they came in behind them and fixed it. Every marketing agency has examples of work. A customer was working with a marketing agency and got terrible results, and the Google thing was all messed up and whatever, and they came in and fixed it. We all have those, but we can't allow ourselves to believe that those exceptions where we come in and say our technical skills save the day are generally the reasons people are either overjoyed or disappointed. That's not generally how it works. And once we stop allowing ourselves to consider our expertise and our experience as the most important criteria, now we're left with the real work. Now we can really get somewhere. When we can come to truly understand our customers, you know, can we still save the day with our technical skills? Of course. If we rely only on our technical skills, can we wow them with the other criteria they have? If all we focus on is our technical skills and how great those are, can we wow them with the other things they really care about, like communication? No. But if we focus on things like communication, understanding that we still have to get the technical part right, we focus on the communication, because that's what they really value in this instance, this example I'm using. then absolutely we can wow them on the stuff they really care about. And can we still nail it on the technical part? Absolutely. But only one of those works. If we rely on focusing on our technical skills and the thing we do to make money, the push-ups and diets that we're selling, if we focus on making that the best, you know, if I focus on making the plumbing the best or the accounting the best or the chiropractic the best, I can't wow them on the other stuff they really care about. But if I focus on the stuff they really care about, I can still wow them on the technical stuff. That's a critical thing for us to understand. Part of this also is we must understand to our customer, where is the service we're providing on the utility versus experience scale? Now, I've completely made this up, this utility to experience scale. You've probably not heard it before, so I'll explain it for just a second. Some services we provide that are provided to clients or customers are seen as utility. Some are seen more of an experience. So on one end, you would have like your cable company or your phone company. The only time I think about my cable or internet is when it doesn't work. That's the only time. I wake up in the morning, I don't have a single thought about it. I could go weeks on end without thinking about my cable. Second it stops working, that's what I'm thinking about. On the other end of the spectrum, we have experiences. Like going on a cruise, or, you know, my wife and I had an amazing dinner at a very fancy restaurant with an amazing view on the Caribbean Ocean a few months ago. And I will think about that experience for the rest of my life. That was an experience. Sometimes, though, we think our customers should see our service that we provide as more of an experience when really they see it more of a utility. We need to understand how our customer views the service we provide. But often we believe that they should see what we do way more of an experience than is reasonable. I don't know your circumstance. There's no way I could know for you where this is. But I can tell you for me, if in my company, I would have been adamant that my customers value the service I provided as an experience, while deep down, they just looked at it more of a utility, I would have been in real trouble. Does that mean I don't want to wow them and give them an experience better than they expected? Of course not. I absolutely want to wow them and give them a better experience than they expected. 100%. And I knew we had done it with our clients when not just a handful, but a significant volume of them started telling us that the level of service we provided, the level of communication we provided was the benchmark that they compared all other providers to. I knew we had done it. Not once, not one time ever did somebody say that our workmanship or expertise was the standard they held others to. Not one time. And again, we had the same stories as everyone else. We came on behind somebody else who had blown it and we fixed it. We had those stories like everyone else, but not one time did they ever come up and say, you guys' workmanship and expertise is the standard we hold others to. They absolutely numerous times though said, your level of service and your level of communication is the benchmark we compare all providers to. We were selling them what they wanted, not what they needed. So even still in my case, I need to understand and accept that they weren't looking for this encounter with me to be an experience. I had to accept reality on that, or I would completely miss key things that I could do to really wow them. Customers buying a new HVAC unit are wowed a whole lot more by excellent effective communication than they are with how well the wiring that they're never going to see is done. Like, how many times do people go out and admire the workmanship of an HVAC unit, you know, more than 3 days after it was installed? Like 0.00001%. But how many will remember how great the communication was? Like 80%+, right? So how do we find out what truly matters to them? Well, we got to stop factoring in the service we provide. Okay, yes, they need our widget fixing. But besides that, what do they really want? And I mean this, besides that, what do they really want? So stop, we got to stop factoring in the service we provide if we truly want to understand what they really want. They don't want the diet. They want their clothes to fit. They want their friends to notice. They want to feel healthier. We must invest the necessary time to ask the questions like, why did you choose us instead of Brand X? Why did you buy today instead of yesterday, or rather than waiting until tomorrow? What do you really care about? What do you really want? What are you worried about? What might be you embarrassed about? Why have you fired other providers? And here's a secret I will tell you that I think is really important for us to understand. The more reluctant they are to tell us the thing, the more valuable the knowledge is. I will tell you, like for me personally, the things that I learned over years of serving a particular kind of client, I got to know things that they were really reluctant to say. But once they got to know me over a period of time, you know, a long period of time, they started sharing things that were way more intimate and vulnerable than they did, you know, when I only knew them for 3 months. That information I got later on that could have been embarrassing, used out of context or not understood or whatever, that was way more valuable than the stuff I learned after just bumping into somebody a couple times. So the more reluctant they are to tell us, the more valuable the knowledge, I believe. And we have to ask the appropriate and oh so informative follow-up questions. So for example, if you're a contractor serving property managers, you might learn that they really value communication. And if you were to ask why, they'd likely say it's important that they know what's going on in case the property owner were to call and ask, like, hey, we're spending $1,000 with this thing. And they call, like, hey, what's going on with that? If you ask why that matters, you learn the real reason they care about this. And there's several, but one of the real reasons that they care is they don't like looking stupid in front of their clients, the property owners. And they believe how well they are perceived to be on top of these maintenance kinds of things is one of the indicators their clients use to assess their overall performance. So it's not the communication that they value. It's the not looking stupid in front of their clients that matters. It's maintaining their reputation that matters. So it's not just the communication is helpful, important, or expected. Of course, it is all those things. It's much more about their reputation. And once we understood that, again, our lives changed. We started selling them what they wanted, which was, we help you maintain your reputation because we know that's all your name is your reputation. Name of your company, all it is your reputation. We help you maintain that because we are excellent at communicating, and we were. That's what they wanted. They did not want the service we provided. They knew they could get the service we provided from lots of places. That was not interesting to them was to find the best contractor in our particular industry. There's tons of people who hired from the same pool of people we did and had the same tools we did and maybe even had better trucks than we did. What was special about us was we knew what they wanted and we catered to that, which had nothing, absolutely nothing. The things we catered to that really wowed our clients had absolutely nothing to do with what we did to make money. Nothing. Had nothing to do with plumbing in our case at all. So if you're trying to sell yourself as a contractor who provides great quality at a fair price, you wouldn't even raise the tiniest bit of interest from them after working with us in our case. Because that's not what they were buying from us. We were selling them what they wanted, not what they needed. Of course they needed to get the things done. And this is like an odd thing in a service business. Yes, they absolutely need the service we provide, but they can get that from lots of places. What do they want? And how do we provide that better than Brand X? We must keep asking ourselves and stay laser focused on asking the right question. What do they really want? And how do we provide that better than Brand X? And stop asking, how do I get them to buy my service? And especially stop asking, how do I get them to appreciate how great we are at providing our service? If we're asking questions like that, even subconsciously or internally, you're going on the wrong path. All right, don't forget, try my group meetings out absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your process, your profitability. Just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. Once I receive your email, I'll send you back a Zoom link for our next call. You can start making progress immediately on areas where you'd like a little help or a little insight or just a little confidence. Also, if you find the information I share helpful, please share this podcast with a friend or colleague who you think could benefit. Of course, public sharing is also appreciated, but this is a topic that many people struggle with. If you know somebody who's trying to figure out how to, you know, gain that competitive edge, this is a great podcast episode to share with them. So until next week, that's it for this week, and I'll see you all next week.